Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, cut. Tyler, cut it. Cut the thing. Cut the thing. It's out. The Supreme Court decision we've all been waiting for is out. The Supreme Court decision about how the special extra Medicare supplement for Part A hospitalization is to be calculated for hospitals that disproportionately serve low-income patients. They did it! I know we're all waiting for that abortion decision, but and we know the Supreme Court said they would add as a special opinion release day today. We all thought that meant here comes the abortion decision. And I pointed out there's several other cases they haven't released opinions on. So the first one up from the Supreme Court today is what I just said about some boring Medicare stuff.
If you ever do that to me again, I will take you out to the woodshed and kick you in the shin repeatedly.
Joke's on you. I love that.
I'm looking at every source possible. And here you come on with, it's happened, it's come down. I'm like, wait, what? Wait, I'm the news guy. What did I miss?
Well, I'm sorry. You guys don't have an alert set for Becerra v. Empire Health Foundation for Valley Hospital Medical Center?
You know, Please. This is why I probably won't get my contract renewed, because I didn't have that alert on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm here. I got you covered. Now, it does mean they have started the process of uploading the opinions. So let's keep refreshing, and we'll see if we get something that is more what we were looking for. In the meantime, a bipartisan Senate gun control bill has passed. It'll go to the House. They're going to take it up today. I'd be very surprised if it doesn't pass the House as well. There's two things in this. One of them is very controversial, and it has to do with requiring background checks for 18 to 20-year-olds who are buying firearms that will now include juvenile records and psychiatric records. And this is so controversial that guess who doesn't like it? Remember, it's a gun control bill. Guess who doesn't like it? You'll never guess. I'll just tell you. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC. Now, I don't think AOC's a big gun person. I don't think she's a big Second Amendment booster. I would think in most cases she loves gun control, but even she doesn't think this is a good idea. It doesn't mean she'll vote against the bill, but she is speaking out about it. And that is because in this country, juvenile records are considered sacrosanct. You have regular adult court records. They're not that hard to get. Anybody can get them. Juvenile records are a different thing. For one thing, in the adult criminal justice system, one of the big purposes is punishment. And another one is protection of society. And rehabilitation is in there, kind of, but depending on the case, sometimes the idea of what can we do to help rehabilitate this person gets thrown out. But in juvenile court, there's only one goal: rehabilitation. That's it. So it is structured differently. The records are kept differently. And under this requirement, what's going to happen is if a 19-year-old goes to buy a gun, they have the background check. And then they have 3 days for the instant criminal check to come back and flag the possibility that there's a juvenile record that needs to be looked in, which will extend the waiting time to up to 10 days. And if after 10 days, I guess if the authorities don't find what they thought they were going to find, then you get your gun. But if they find a juvenile felony conviction, you don't get to have a gun. Now, here are what the people who don't like this idea are saying. You shouldn't be held accountable for the rest of your life for something that happened when you were underage. And now we are saying that someone who has a felony conviction when they are 16 or 17 will never again in their life, even when they're 80, be allowed to have a gun, and that's not fair. Now, if you're 18, then that's fine that you never again in your life can have a gun, but not if it happened when you were 17 or 16. So that is in this bill. I don't know if, if there are enough people in the House that have a problem with that part of it, they might demand that some changes be made before they're willing to pass it. So let's see if that provision scuttles anything about the bill getting passed in the House. So that's in there. That's somewhat interesting to me. It definitely goes against the grain of how we usually treat juvenile records. On the other hand, there's another argument to be made, which is just because you were 16 when you murdered all those people, we shouldn't hold it against you when you're 80. And then there's another thing in here. It has to do with misdemeanor crimes of violence. Remember, it used to be if you had a felony, you couldn't have
a gun. Hey, Wayne, I'm just jumping in right here. According to Fox News, the Supreme Court has reversed Roe v. Wade.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, here it is. Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization. The Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. Roe is overruled. Casey is overruled. Authority to regulate abortion is returned to the people and their elected representatives. And I just want to see if they stuck with Alito as the author of this decision. Boy, the syllabus for this decision just goes on and on.
Oh,
here we
gosh,
go.
Yeah.
Yep, it is Justice Alito. So we can look at this a little bit and see how close to the draft it is. But you're right. It's out. They've done it. And the Supreme Court has just issued its opinion in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, or as we all have been describing it and talking about it, the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And they have overturned Roe v. Wade. So you no longer have a right embedded in the Constitution to get an abortion. And it means states will be free to do everything up to and including saying zero abortions no matter what. I don't know if any state will go quite that far. No abortion, not even if you're going to die if you have to give birth to the baby. But I guess anything is possible now that the proverbial gloves are off when it comes to legislating abortion, restricting abortion, controlling abortion. This particular case has to do with a 15-week restriction in Mississippi. It's Mississippi's Gestational Age Act. So I don't know, normally what you would do is you would look at that particular law and you would decide if that particular law violates the Constitution or not. And if it does, then that particular law is no good anymore. Here's the problem. Because what I'm saying is normally you would not go so far as to overturn a previous Supreme Court precedent. But they had to. They had to, because it's not just that Roe said you have a right to an abortion. Roe said you have a right to an abortion up until viability. And prior to viability, basically, the state can't stop you from getting an abortion no matter what. And then there was some argument about what is the age of viability, and that age actually got adjusted down a little bit over the years, but it was more than 15 weeks. So if you have a law that says no abortions after 15 weeks, you cannot uphold the law without overturning Roe. There's no way to do it. And that's what the people behind the law knew. And that is what has been behind the passing of all of these laws that we've seen recently, more notably perhaps than Mississippi, Texas's 6-week law. What has been behind it is we want to get it to the Supreme Court so they have an opportunity to overturn Roe v. Wade. So here we are. Now, it's not a surprise. The draft opinion was leaked. Everybody knew that they were going to overturn it. I think that before that draft opinion was leaked, most people understood that the probability was extremely high that this particular Supreme Court would overturn Roe v. Wade.
I think thing I'm most interested in, sorry to interrupt, is hearing...
No. Never be sorry to interrupt.
Well, the opinions almost vitriol that I know we are going to hear from people like Governor Newsom this morning, because in California, back in May, you had the governor advocating for a state constitutional amendment that would guarantee abortion rights. And he's talked about kind of making it, I don't know if this was his exact term, but I'm paraphrasing, that it would be sort of a sanctuary state for abortions. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you were in some state that, like you said, that just outright basically banned it, you could come to California, get your abortion, no questions asked kind of thing.
Well, this is what I would like to see is instead of all this hand-wringing about how terrible this is, I want to see the infrastructure geared up so that women living in the states that where abortion won't be available can still get one. Because the thing about it is, right, it doesn't stop a state from allowing abortion. It doesn't stop a state from paying for abortions.
Right.
It doesn't stop a state from helping women from other states come there to get abortions. So if you are a politician and you are very pro-abortion rights, then you need to be focusing now on putting systems into place to try to make it as convenient as possible, whatever that's going to look like, for women who want an abortion to get one. Instead of all this, like, yeah, I can't believe they did it, it's a thing, it's a dark day, and all this stuff. Because the fact of the matter is, it's not the first time that the Supreme Court has overruled its own precedent. It's just that this time, it was an issue that is so controversial and so politically divisive at the time that they're overturning it. Usually, by the time the Supreme Court gets around to overturning a prior Supreme Court decision, it's been decades and decades. I guess you could argue it's been decades here. But by the time they get around to overturning the previous decision, the decision to overturn that decision is not controversial. Plessy v. Ferguson, where the Supreme Court said segregation, state-mandated segregation is A-OK and totally cool. By the time they got around to overturning it, although there were still plenty of people who wanted there to be segregation, it was not the kind of almost equally divisive issue that this abortion ruling is. Or, of course, when they overturned Dred Scott, where they basically said Black people in the United States are not citizens, can never be citizens, and therefore you can keep them as slaves because they don't even have the right to come to a court and ask for anything. By the time that was overturned, there was more of a societal view that, yeah, that's pretty crappy. So this is maybe unique in that they have overturned a precedent that, number one, many people were alive, right? Many people were alive when Roe was decided. Not so much so with those other cases. And also, that is still so intractably divisive in this country. But that's of no, never mind, to the Supreme Court. And they talk in this decision, I'm getting confused between the syllabus part of the decision and the actual part of the decision. But in this decision, they talk about, like, hey, we're not supposed to pay attention to what the people on the street think about it. We're trying to do what we think the law says to do. And what they say the law says is, you don't have a right to an abortion. Now, you have to show your work. And they know that. They can't just come out and say, you know what, we just don't think that you should have a right to an abortion. Done. Two-page decision. No, in fact, this decision is 213 pages. And probably 200 of those pages, as I'm going through it, if you didn't know it was about abortion, you'd be bored out of your mind for about 200 pages of this. And then, you know, there's a couple of spicy pages in this decision. They do show their work. Whether we agree with it or not is a completely separate question. But the law is not math. If you show your work on a division problem, everybody's going to have to agree that you did it right. That's not how it works with the law. We're discussing the release this morning by the Supreme Court of their decision overturning Roe v. Wade. As of right now, you do not have a federally constitutionally enshrined right to an abortion 213 pages, but in essence, it boils down to this. You got two kinds of rights in this country. I'm oversimplifying just a little bit, obviously, but you sort of have two kinds of rights. You have the rights that are based on things that are explicitly mentioned in the Constitution. So, Congress can make no law establishing a religion. Oh, they're specifically talking about the government and religion. The right to bear arms shall not be infringed because you need a well-regulated militia. Oh, they're specifically talking about guns. And then you have the other rights that aren't specifically mentioned, but they're considered to be fundamentally necessary rights in order to protect liberty. That's the phrase that can create all of the controversy. What is liberty? Does it include being able to use contraceptives as a married couple? Well, the Supreme Court did find previously that yes, it did. Does it include being able to marry the person of your choice regardless of their sex and your sex? Well, the Supreme Court found that it did. Does it include the right to get an abortion? They found that it did, and now a different group is saying, no, that was wrong. Liberty does not include the right to terminate your pregnancy. So when you're trying to decide this question, here's a right, and it's not explicitly mentioned. How do you decide if it's liberty or if it's not part of liberty? Well, they say this is the approach they use. You look at the history of the country. Well, how was this handled 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, even prior to the founding of the United States? How was it handled in common law? And sometimes they'll go back to England, well, you know, decades and decades before there was any United States, and they'll look at how the thing was handled. And what they decided here is this. A majority of the states had some kind of laws against abortion for a long time in this country. Therefore, the right to get an abortion is not deeply rooted in our nation's history. Basically, if people were not into it back then, we don't have to protect it now. And that is the path that the six justice majority took to say that Roe was wrong, Planned Parenthood v. Casey was wrong, these rights are now gone. Those cases are overturned, and that's where we stand today. Keep in mind, there's zero reason that 50 years from now, another Supreme Court won't turn around and reinstate Roe and overturn this decision. Because the law is not math, as I like to say. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. Now, 1,000 years ago, 1,000 years from now, 2 + 2 = 4. And everyone agrees 2 + 2 = 4. That's not the law. The law is whatever the people deciding think about it at the time. So, for the moment, this is the state of the law. But it only means you don't have a federal right. It doesn't mean you won't have a right to an abortion. It'll just depend on where you live. And that is where what Jennifer Jones Lee was talking about before we went to a break comes in. What's going on here in California in reaction to this decision?
Well, you know what I think is interesting? I was reading this article in SF Gate, and it talks about how what the Supreme Court decision of overturning Roe v. Wade actually does in California is politically, it serves as a way to kind of bump up the turnout of Democratic voters. Because here's what this does is, on one hand, you're going to see California be kind of become the fail-safe when it comes to abortions. You're going to have everybody and their uncle who can't get an abortion in their state coming here. If Republicans were to win over the legislature at the state level, you could see that reversed. So this might keep all of the Democratic voters coming out who are passionate about Roe v. Wade and wanting California to stick with its abortion rights as they are now. This could actually kind of pump up the Democratic voters. And I think that because voter turnout in our state is such a big problem. I think everybody just assumes that all Democrats are going to win and that everything Democratic is going to be the case. Oftentimes, Democrats don't go to the polls because of that. And it's a lot of Republicans who actually end up voting. That being said, this might actually help the Democratic Party and also kind of pump up, I guess, abortion in California, which is kind of just a, I guess, in a way, if you look at it, it sort of backfires on the decision today.
Well, okay. The first thing is, yes, it's probably going to juice up some turnout in November, because what's happening is there's a constitutional amendment for California making its way through Sacramento. I think it'll get through both sides of the legislature. The Senate approved it earlier this week. It goes to the Assembly. I can't imagine it won't pass. And then we'll have an opportunity in November to vote on whether there will be a California constitutional right to an abortion, which is important for future proofing the state. Remember when I said 50 years ago, the Supreme Court said yes, abortion. Now they say no abortion. 50 years from now, maybe they'll be inclined to say yes, abortion again. By making this written explicitly in our Constitution, it means if in 50 years California is suddenly Republican again, they won't be able to stop abortion. So in other words, you have an opportunity in November to vote to make abortion rights permanent forever in California. Unless, of course, the state takes a hard right turn and 50 years from now, they amend the Constitution to remove it again. It's pretty weird to think that constitutional rights are not as set in stone as we think of them to be.
Yeah.
At the state level and even at the federal level, the fact is, if you can navigate the procedure and get enough people to agree with you, you can add constitutional rights and you can take them away. If we got enough people to agree in this country and went through the process, and the process basically requires enough people to agree, we could take the vote away from women again. I'm not saying I think that would happen. I certainly don't think it should happen, but I'm saying it could happen. So this should be a real wake-up call. Sorry to steal the name of your show, Jen. Should be a real wake-up call to people that even those rights that we think of as being absolutely embedded in granite aren't necessarily. There's a couple of things that we haven't thought about yet in terms of the impact of becoming that kind of a country. We'll get into that later in the show. Right now, I want to talk about this. When you make abortion completely illegal, then, of course, you have to find out if there was an abortion. And it's obvious if a woman goes to an office somewhere and they perform an illegal abortion. But women have been subjected for a long time to this problem. Some pregnancies don't work out. You have a miscarriage. Miscarriages generally are earlier in the pregnancy. And then you have a stillbirth. And a stillbirth is very similar. The pregnancy has failed. The fetus is dead. But generally, we're talking later in the pregnancy, often very late in the pregnancy, when it looks a lot like a baby. In fact, in some cases, it looks entirely like a baby. It's not a little thing anymore. It's a baby. And what happens sometimes is a woman will have a stillbirth and the authorities will decide she probably killed her baby. We're going to jack her up for killing her baby. And in fact, this happened, and it was a few years ago now, but it was remarkable because it was here in the United States, although it was in Mississippi. I don't mean to be flippant, but it's Mississippi. And this woman had a stillbirth. And they decided that they were going to go after her for second-degree murder. Now, what did they do? Well, one thing they did is they got a search warrant for her phone data. And they found out that she had been searching for abortion pills. That, I guess, they said showed intent that she would kill her baby on purpose as opposed to the pregnancy didn't work out. And imagine... obviously I've never been pregnant and so I don't know what it's like to have a miscarriage or a stillbirth, but I can kind of through empathy imagine it's super upsetting. So imagine that's happened to you. You've lost your baby And now the authorities want to go after you for being a baby murderer. But here's the other thing they did, and this blows me away, because this is, put on your leeches and, you know, we have to wave a stick at you to realign your bodily humors to cure your sickness hat. There's something called a lung float test, and it has been in use since about the 1600s to determine whether a baby was born already dead or was born alive. Because, of course, if you're a woman and you have a stillbirth, the baby is dead before it's out of your body. But on the other hand, sometimes you might give birth to a baby and then kill it because you don't want it. And the men who run society, they want to know, which one are you? So the thought is this. How do we know if this baby was born alive or it was already dead? Oh, well, you start breathing when you come out. And so if we could prove that this baby took a breath, then that proves this baby was alive. And that proves that this woman is a witch. I'm sorry, a murderer. And how do you do a lung float test? It's just what it sounds like. You take the lungs of the baby and you see if they float. And the idea is that if a breath was taken, the lungs will float. And if the lungs sink to the bottom, it means no air was ever inside of those lungs. The baby was dead when it came out to the world. And therefore, ma'am, you are not a murderer. And this started in the 1600s based on this asinine theory, and it persists all the way into the contemporary age. And you're going to see in states that make abortion completely illegal and make it a criminal act, you're going to see this happen. You're going to have a dead baby, and they're going to want to prove that the baby came out alive, and they're going to float the lungs. Here's the problem with this. It doesn't work. It's stupid. There are so many ways that the lungs of a baby who's already dead could get air or gas inside of them before they come out of the woman's body, passing through the birth canal. Air can get in, gas can get in. If there's any decomposition, gases can form inside the lungs. So this does have a flavor of medieval ignorance behind it. The whole thing does. And to think that now somewhere in this country, a woman's going to have a stillbirth. And in the modern age, they're going to take that dead baby's lungs and throw them in a tank of water, and they're going to float, and then they're going to go to court and charge a woman with murder. Even though it is well established that that is a bogus test that doesn't tell you anything. But look for that coming to a courtroom near you. All right, let's get some news from Jennifer Jones Lee. And then we'll talk a little bit. We'll change gears here a little bit. Man, oh man, do the law enforcement agencies in Texas not want you to see any of their records surrounding that Uvalde mass shooting. This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeart app.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.